Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is Pat Forman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Wednesday, August 15th. Yep, it is Hump Day. And I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks. Today's early bird secret password is egg. Today's early bird secret password is egg, and the prize we're giving away is from this great company. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. And you can find all the great Ware products here. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Head over here to the chat room and say hello to Chicken Mom. We got several guests in the chat room today. We've got Casey in Idaho. We've got Ken Hastings. And we got Paul in there. And slowly but surely, as you regular listeners know, it's going to fill up today. We've got a great topic and a couple of great guests. First up, we've got poultry scientist and professor, Dr. Bridget McCray, Ph.D., and she's going to be sharing with us her knowledge about a great topic that we cover occasionally throughout the year because it's so pertinent to having backyard flocks, and that is mites and lice. Mites and lice, yep. And so how to treat them, how to control them, the kinds that there are throughout the country, what time is prevalent, where they like to hide, where, you know, how to clean, how to prevent, all these great things you need to know if you're going to keep a backyard flock. Also, we've had some great questions and comments already on our Facebook page. One happened to be exactly the situation we had. We had in one of our runs, in one of our coops, we had about, I don't know, 16 chickens, and only one had actually some lice and mites. So it was very interesting. Just one out of the entire flock. We treated her. They went away, and happy-go-lucky, no problem ever since, you know, for happily ever after. So, and that was a comment on Facebook that they have a whole flock, but only one chicken happened to have some mites and lice. So we'll be talking about that and how does that happen and why and issues like that, or do we really think it's just one and we're just overlooking the others? So great topic. After Dr. McCray finishes with her educational portion, we've got the owner and founder of Carefree Enzymes, Patrick Haley. He's going to be coming on and telling us about an all-natural product that he has. It's been out for a while now, Poultry Protector. You've probably heard about it on the show, heard about it on Facebook, gone to their website, seen it in Tractor Supply and other places, it's an all-natural. There's no egg withdrawal. It's awesome, and I think it's the only product on the market that carries the larvae, the pupa, the egg, and the adult. It's amazing. Comes in a spray bottle, and so he'll be on a little bit later in the show to teach us and teach us all about that product, because I know all of our listeners are concerned about all natural, and so this may be a solution for you by using this product. So with that got going on, yep. The secret password is hush hush shh, because we got a great prize to give away today from Ware Manufacturing. It's a wire egg basket. It's really awesome. It holds two dozen eggs, so it's quite a nice size egg basket. Holds two dozen eggs. It's that, you know, the wire egg basket with that kind of that vinyl or rubber coating on it. Really, really nice prize today. And that is if you got here on time, like a good student, and were here before the teacher closed the door and the bell rang. You remember those days? Goodness gracious. And remember, this shows you how nerdy we are. Don't tell me you didn't do this. Back when digital watches were the thing, had digital watches with calculators on them and all that kind of stuff, you could actually set, because the bell system at school was set via computer, you could set your watch to the very second that the bells were going to go off. So you knew exactly to the second how much you had time, so you could really aggravate the teacher by, you know, closing your locker, getting down the hallway, knowing exactly how long you had time to go to the bathroom and talk and chat and pass notes and all that stuff. And then right, you know, 2 seconds, 1 second before the bell rings, run right into the room. Well, today, early bird secret password. If you got it, no sharing now, because it is an awesome prize and you want to get rewarded for being here on time. So an awesome egg basket from Ware Manufacturing. We've got that today. Hey, the Fam Farm's in there. Says she can't stay long. She just wanted to pop in and say howdy. We appreciate that, the Fam Farm. Question there, Fam Farm. Did you happen to get Jessica's information about the prize she won the other day? She won a $10 gift certificate to the Fam Farm, and wanted to know if you got her information. She was in the chat room as well, I think, that day. If you got it, then I'm not going to worry about sending it to you, but if you don't have it, I've got it, and I can send it to you. So you can get her out that $10 gift certificate, or just kind of tell her to come visit your website, see what you got, and then email you what she wants, you know, however you want to do that. Just let me know in the chat room and I'll either send that over to you unless you've already got it. So let me know regarding that. Thank you very much for joining us. Like I said, chat room slowly but surely filling up. Thank you very much. Lots of guests in the chat room today. We thank you for joining us here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. If you'll take a moment to register, then you can join us in the chat room. A lot of great friendships have been made through the chat room, both pleasurable friendships and business friendships through people who have small backyard businesses as well, just like the Fam Farm. If you take a moment to register, you can register through Blog Talk Radio. You can register with your Facebook login information or your Twitter login information. and then you can get your own unique, fun, and creative screen name, just like the rest of us in here, regular listeners. So we thank you for tuning in for at least today's topic. We hope you'll like what you hear and be able to return and join us a little bit later. Doesn't look like Pat is going to be joining us today. At least she hasn't yet already. She's probably in the pharmacy, saving lives with Big Pharma. So, no, can you imagine, like I said all the time, if Pat was your pharmacist, how crazy that would be? You go in to pick up, some antibiotics, and you sit there for an hour and a half talking about backyard poultry and composting while you're trying to wait for your prescription. That would be a hoot. So it doesn't look like she'll be joining us today, but that's okay. She was here yesterday and Monday. We appreciate her joining us when she can. Regarding that. Let's see, tomorrow we're also in for a treat because tomorrow also Dr. Bridget McCrae will be here talking about feed for the seasons. Feed for the seasons. Very interesting topic tomorrow. You know, why in the summertime do you not want to give them a lot of cracked corn and whole corn and grains? You know, produces a lot of body heat. But in the winter, that may be okay to give just a little bit of that before they go and roost at night to produce some body heat through the night as they digest those grains. So feed through the seasons. I'm guessing that's kind of what it's going to be about, different feed requirements via protein and other ingredients for throughout the seasons, the hot, the cold, the transition time, spring and fall. So that is going to be a great topic for tomorrow, also with Dr. McCrae, Ph.D. And so East Dallas Dave says, sitting on a dock in Michigan, enjoying the cool weather. Well, I hope you had a safe trip up there from Texas, Dave, and enjoy that cool weather. I know that it's right around the corner because I saw somebody post on Facebook today. Today it was supposed to be like a high of 93 where they were at, and then the next 2 days was going to be a high of like 72, 74. So I guess a cold front's starting to come through. We must be starting to get some Arctic cold fronts come through down from Canada, getting ready for this transition. It's about mid-August down here in the south, though. We probably won't even get our first real cool snap until it seems around. It seems around Halloween, it always seems like it gets cold when you have to go outside and go beg people for candy. So it's probably around Halloween as we'll get our first noticeable cool snap here in the deep south. But yeah, we'll enjoy these cooler temperatures. Got some good news today. It looks like I'll be planning a trip up to our good friend and sponsor, Tractor Supply. Y'all know that I make videos for them, and we've already got some up on their website at their Chick Days site, and I'm under contract to make 8 more videos, so got to get busy. I'm already starting to work on the scripts for those and what I want to film, but that's going to be coming up here. Hopefully I'll make 2 in September, 2 in October, 2 in November, and 2 in December. We'll be talking about all kinds of different topics, but I've got a trip up to Nashville, it looks like, to visit Tractor Supply. They've invited me up there. They are interested in possibly signing up for a premier sponsorship here with the radio show and the Chicken Whisperer. So they're getting all kinds of different department heads together, and I'll have to go do my dog and pony show there for them in a conference room, I'm sure, possibly on the last Friday of the month, Friday, August 31st. So I'll keep you abreast of show cancellations based on the 30th and the 31st. And it looks like we may be going up to Tractor Supply headquarters in Brentwood, just outside of Nashville, and trying to get them to agree and show them all the benefits of advertising here with Backyard Poultry of the Chicken Whisperer and becoming a show partner and sign up for a premier sponsorship. So I've got that going on with Tractor Supply. And the cool thing is, which would be nice and relaxing, is I've got somebody that's willing to come up and step up for that premier sponsorship position if Tractor Supply wants to stay where they're at regarding making videos and promoting and some other things that I do with them as far as their stores and products and Chick Days and videos. So if they don't want to step up, or maybe when I go through everything that it includes, if they don't see quite how as large as they are, or they're based on their marketing strategy, if it may not pan out or agree with what they're doing, then I've got somebody that's ready to step up if they refuse that or just want to make status quo like we've always been doing on Tractor Supply. So that's kind of relaxing knowing, hey, I can go up there and do my dog and pony show and tell them all about the great benefits. And if they step up, great. If they don't, then, you know, hey, I've got a backup plan. So that's always nice. Speaking of backup plans, yesterday I shared with you kind of the update about the TV show that's going on, posted on Facebook page about how they may if we do this, if it all pans out based on some of the show ideas I sent the television producer with Discovery Network, who also owns Animal Planet, if it's something different that they're not looking for Animal Planet, they can do the pilot and pitch it to other networks and the OWN network. Now, y'all know I don't own a television, so the OWN network, Oprah Winfrey Network, I believe. I've never seen it, don't know anything about it, but I did get several emails from people. Not emails, no, posts. Haven't got any emails on it yet, but a post on our Facebook page about how the OWN network is having some financial problems. They've read about this, they've read about that. You know, it'd be horrible to put all this work into the show and then the network goes bust, or it's just not getting the viewership that you would like. Apparently, OWN is a choice or a paid channel, so a lot of people don't get it unless they actually pay for it or request it or have a particular package. I guess that's how that works. So it may not have the viewership that you would like as far as spreading the chicken love and educating folks on the masses about the great backyard poultry movement and homesteading. So we'll just have to see. They may come back and say no. And actually, I was telling a friend last night that, you know, yes, I would like to have this show to spread the chicken love. I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but I'm not getting my hopes up. If that happens, great. If it doesn't, great. I'm not going to act the fool just for ratings. No, I have to live on this planet for the rest of my life, and so do my kids and my wife, so that's not happening. I will turn it down if they want to do some scripted, crazy, nutty stuff. But, you know, part of me is looking forward to either getting that email saying, okay, well, we've exhausted all research and we just don't think it's earnest enough, and that's the key word that I got from them. It may be too earnest for TV, and, you know, that tells me that, again, like I said yesterday when I was venting, about the American TV viewer and how sad that is, that something that's good-hearted, educational, a good family show, just not going to work on TV today in most cases. And that's exactly what the producer showed me, that Americans are looking for this wow factor, crazy, stupid crap on television, because I guess their brainwaves are just at that level. It's crazy. So I just wanted to keep you up to date of that, and I will. Again, part of me is ready to just wipe my hands of it and say next and wait for another producer, which will come along another 3 to 6 months like they always do, wanting to do a show. And most of them I turn down because they want something crazy. This one seemed to have an idea of what we wanted to do and promote backyard poultry. So we'll see what happens regarding that. Again, great show lineup this week, of course. Let me just kind of brief you what's going on next week. I told you about Dr. McCrae tomorrow. There's no show this Friday. You know that. I'll be on a field trip with my wife and her students. Let's see. We've got Monday the 20th, Peter Brown, the chicken doctor, as always. Tuesday the 21st, Andrew Odom, founder of Tiny Revolution, getting lots of great updates about him and his family living a tiny lifestyle. Their house is about 8 feet wide by 28 feet long, 8 by 30, about the size of a small camper. That is their home, and that's, again, minimalist lifestyle. What do you need? What do you not need to live a happy life? And he'll be joining us, giving us and updating us on the good, the bad, and the ugly. Next Wednesday, looks like maybe next Wednesday. Oh, actually next Wednesday, I have another great small business story with a small business. So she right out of her backyard, right out of on her property, she has basically a hatching business and a bird business. She ships birds all over the country. Small business enterprise. We love to support them, and she'll be joining us next Wednesday. Really looking forward to that. And then next Thursday, the 23rd, love it. Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, will be joining us. And then another fun Friday on the 24th. So we've got that going on as well here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. All righty, I'm going to go ahead right now, go ahead over to the phone lines, and we're going to bring on our guest for today. Last minute, thank you very much for agreeing to come on today. And that, of course, is Dr. Bridget McCrae, PhD, poultry scientist and professor. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Andy.
I'm doing, thank you. Good. How are you? I'm doing fine. And also, thank you very much for coming on today last minute. Arlena, folks, you know, today is normally Arlena Schott's day, garden-wise living with Arlena, year-round gardening information. And, of course, not to mention we figure and listened out what wine she's absolutely enjoying during the show. But her husband had to go in for some kind of a last-minute schedule for some testing, medical testing, that their doctor recommended. So we thought, instead of having her stressed out about getting back on time, if she was going to get back on time, to just family comes first, you know, hope the tests come out want them to come out, and just don't even worry about it. Family comes first. Don't stress about the show. Go and stress about all these tests, which I know she's going to be stressing about anyway. So we hope that all is well with her and her husband, and the tests come back, I guess, positive or negative, depending on what test you're having. So we wish her all the best, and our prayers go out to her. But thank you, Dr. McRae, for coming up, stepping up last minute and joining us. And a great topic today, I guess not really if you got them, but mites and lice, and about kind of how to treat them, prevent them, the different kinds that there are, why they're there, where they hide, all this kind of great information. And we got a great, great person to share all that and share her knowledge with us today. So welcome.
Glad to be of assistance. I can't get into the chat room today, but I can't respond, but I can read what people are writing down.
So you're in there, but you're just in as a guest. It won't accept your...
It won't even accept me as a guest. I can see it, but I can't type in. Yeah, welcome to my world. It's just the way it is today, apparently.
Or she uses an Explorer a lot, and sometimes she'll try that, and it'll be like, I can get in there, but I'm a guest and won't recognize me or my password as a regular person, and so she has that problem sometimes.
So if I miss anything while I'm chatting with y'all about mites and lice in your chickens, so make sure you write nice and big and write your question, and maybe both Andy or myself will catch it.
Great.
Well, I hear that you're a little busy, and glad to help with a couple of talks today on mites and lice and how to identify them and treat the problem in your flock. Just out of curiosity, in the chat room, attention, in the chat room, if you've ever had a problem with mites or lice in your chickens, type in yes, or I've had a problem, or it's me, it's my problem right now. Go. Let's see what we get, okay?
Yeah, and we're on 20-second delay, so it'll be just a couple of minutes. Here's one. We've got Chicka Chicka says, yes, mites. And yes, Bard Rock says, yes, they have. And so that's one cool thing about the chat room is the response. And so guess,
much
like
faster.
I told you. Yeah, exactly.
But you can type in. I can't.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll collaborate on this today to make it work.
Hey, there's a good one. Barb says, not sure. She's new to chickens, so she's here to learn.
Cool. All right, Barb Battelle. Okay. So one of the biggest problems when I was a kid raising show chickens was, lice. It was more lice than mites for me, mm-hmm. but your flock may be different. We're not talking human lice. These are lice that are specific to poultry. And there are many different types of lice out there. Some are specific to ducks. Some are specific to chickens. Some are very specific to pigeons. But it's not a human louse. So, Andy, when you're out there taking care of your chickens, don't worry. You're not going to be a lousy chicken owner. Okay,
I'm not gonna have
they
to worry
will crawl
about...
on you, not live on you.
Okay.
You are not the specific host, so they are very host-specific. But if you get baby chicks, Andy,
mm-hmm.
and you're brooding them inside the house, and then you put them outside into the coop that you've built that's so wonderful, it's biosecure and absolutely predator-proof, how do your chickens get lice? How do you think, Andy?
I'm going to guess from other wild animals, wild birds, I'm guessing.
Wild birds. You got it. And have you ever dealt with the problem before?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, and somebody commented this on Facebook today also, Dr. McRae, the same problem I had. I had several runs, but in this one particular run, one particular coop, one particular flock of 16, one bird had them. And not the whole flock. I mean, I inspected. One bird had them, and I treated that one bird, and voila, they were gone, and they weren't ever shown to be on any other bird. It was just one bird.
Was it a new bird by chance?
No, it really wasn't. They were probably about, at least a year old, maybe a year and a half old at that point. And we noticed she had, I don't know if it was OCD, but she had picked her chest feathers bald.
Right.
right around the crop area. I mean, bald as can be. Treated that, actually, I'm going to tell you what we did. We put a flock block in there from Purina, and that literally keeping her busy with that grew right back. Keeping her busy with grew them back, and then of course when we removed toys, she plucked that back bald again. But that was the bird, whether it was related or not. That was the bird that the only one in the whole flock that had the problem. Really weird. I'm like, are you serious? They share the same nesting boxes. Why would this bird? And I looked and looked and looked, and then when they were gone, they were gone. And I still looked and couldn't find them on any other bird other than her. Weird.
Well, I'm pretty picky when it comes to having these critters crawl on me as a certified poultry health inspector for the state of California. I don't like it when people bring in lousy birds, or even birds that have a mite problem. And for as many times as I've been on chicken entry day at a fair and gone home and had those things crawling through my hair,
oh no!
You very quickly go take a shower. As quick as possible, you go take a shower because it's just gross. Now, they won't live on me. They're not meant to live on me or you, but they will bite. I mean, they're crawling around on you. And let me tell you, the lice don't bite so much, but those mites, if they get you. Have you ever had like one of those mites fall off a tree and then bite you? They hurt.
Spider mites, too, off house plants. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not fun.
Yes. So, I mean, they'll bite you. Well, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They'll bite you, but they are not living on you. They can't. You're not their preferred host.
Now, we're talking about that. Let's clarify. They're biting to actually get the blood for nutrition?
If they're biting you as a human, it's because they're freaked out. You've done something to change their environment, and they're trying to defend themselves.
Okay.
So, you know, they're just behaving like normal animals. If they're biting the chickens, that's their host. That's what they're trying to feed off of. So, you know, when you're working with animals, these are some of the things, external parasites are some of the things that you might come across. I'm not going to talk about it so much, but most people can identify a tick. And there's lots of information out there on what ticks look like. So ticks can be a problem for poultry too. But I'm going to focus on lice and mites because they are so specific to poultry. And not everybody knows what they look like. So for those of you out in the chat room and out there in listeners' world, you know, I want you to go to the kitchen real quick if you can and grab a grain of rice and then come back and listen to the show. Now I'll explain that in just a moment.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Andy?
Do I need to go get some rice? I've got some in the fridge from leftover from last night, actually.
I mean uncooked. Uncooked.
Okay, I've got some of that too, so.
Okay, go get your grain of rice.
I'm going to go. I'm going to participate in the show as well. I'll be right back.
Very
nice.
While Andy's doing that, everybody, we're going to talk about what exactly the lice and mites are there for. Number one, just like any organism, they're there to survive and reproduce. So, unfortunately, they're taking advantage of your management style and the availability of your chickens. So if you make your chickens unavailable, the likelihood that this problem will be not on your farm is greater. So your risk will be lower. Anytime you bring new birds in, check them. Put them in quarantine for 3 weeks. Check them daily because, you know, baby lice and baby mites do hatch out. And you may not recognize the eggs, but you can recognize the adults. So they're there to feed on the blood. They're there to feed on the feathers, the skin, or even the scales, if we're talking scaly leg mites. And they are difficult to see, and they are hard to identify. But one of the things that I like to look for are the egg sacs. Sometimes, if you get a new bird or a bird that's heavily infested, when you try to peel apart the feathers and look directly at the skin, you'll find that the feathers are glued together. Typically, that's a big red flag of egg sacs. What some of these organisms do is they glue their eggs to the fluffy part of the feathers down near the base of the feather, and then they end up gluing several feathers together to kind of maximize their space. And eventually, if things are bad enough, your birds will start to experience poor health. And I've talked about this in the past, Andy. When you get run down, what happens?
Yeah. You get tired, and the next thing you know, you get susceptible to things. Disease
doesn't
or a cold
what,
or a flu.
Yeah, doesn't matter what comes along. If you're run down, you're not going to be able to fight it off.
Yeah.
And if your management system is one where you need your birds in primo condition all the time because maybe you're trying to go organic and you're not willing to medicate or vaccinate, you need to provide a management system that prevents them from being run down and thereby susceptible to certain diseases. So if they're covered in lice and mites, their whole day is spent pretty much fiddling with their feathers, with their beaks, and trying to get those darn things off of them, and it's almost always a losing battle. So, you got your rice?
I got my rice.
Okay, how about you out there in chat room land? You got your rice?
Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah.
Somebody put brown or white. or no, I'm sorry. Yeah, brown or white rice. Long grain or Rice-a-roni or Uncle Ben's?
Nice.
Oh, me.
Okay, so we're going to start with lice. That's why you got the rice. So, basically, they're flat. They're light-colored. So, if your rice is white, think of it as being more off-white, maybe slightly tan in color. Mm-hmm. And the normal piece of rice, if you cut it in half, that's about the length of a louse on your birds. They do run pretty quickly, too. So, you know, they're going to eat the skin, any scab tissue they create, feather parts. They're going to go for the blood on the skin and also the blood at the base of the feather. They do move bird to bird. And louse eggs, they're called nits. When you've heard that mentioned about children in grade school, a louse is a louse any which way you treat it. When you refer to a louse's eggs, you always call them nits, whether it's on a chicken or, unfortunately, on children.
Can you spell, is it N-I-T, nits?
N-I-T-S.
Okay,
yes.
Gotcha.
Nits. And so they're usually attached to the feathers at the base. They will die in a few days to a week without a poultry host. Okay? So if you have to do a full clean out, consider that. That's going to help you. They tend to be a bigger problem in the coming fall and the winter. Why do you think that is, Andy?
So lice are a bigger problem in the fall and the winter because they need a nice warm place to stay.
Well, because the birds crowd together and move bird to bird, and they can move bird to bird.
Okay.
Quickly. Didn't experience that in your flock.
No, I didn't. But now, how about?
But it was a major problem this year in flocks here in Delaware.
How about the nesting box as far as one bird to the other if they're sharing the nesting box?
They can. It is possible, but they don't like to be off the bird. So that's not going to be their first choice.
Okay.
They would have to accidentally fall off the bird. And that happens. So if you are covered in lice that are biting and tormenting you all the time, your sleep is going to be disturbed. And you're not going to be as successful in fighting off diseases. It is more difficult, slightly more difficult for birds who are beak-trimmed to self-groom. And one thing that does help you is summertime molting. Those nit-laden feathers, if you are in the middle of a molt and you find nit-laden feathers or lice on your birds, you need to get all those molted feathers out of the house. So maybe raking every day would be to your advantage so that those eggs don't hatch and find a nice host standing nearby. There's two types of lice in chickens, the chicken body louse and the shaft louse. The body louse tends to be the one that people see most often. They tend to cluster around the vent, especially in those thick feathers just below the vent. If you part those feathers and point that rear end towards the sunshine, you see anything move, more than likely it's a chicken body louse. Interestingly, the shaft louse tends to hang out near the shaft. It's darker in color, and they don't like to move, so they'll look like a piece of dirt. Well, if you were to pluck that feather out and kind of fuss and poke at that little dark spot with a pin, you would find that eventually it would move and say, quit messing with me. So they'll actually be found on the primary or secondary feathers and pretty interesting creatures. They will just sit there and pretend like you can't see me for quite some time. And sometimes they'll fool you. That's unfortunate, but they will. Here's an interesting bit of information. It takes about 4 to 7 days for a louse egg to hatch. So they can hatch out in a week or less. It takes them 10 to 15 days to reach adulthood. They live for 3 weeks. And in that amount of time, they can lay 50 to 300 eggs. So, they know how to reproduce themselves. So you're always going to be faced with a challenge if you end up with a louse infestation in your flock. So, what do you do? Check your birds twice a month. Spread the feathers just above and below the vent, in the breast area, and high up on the thigh. And if you see lice or if you see nits, then you know you've got a problem. You can choose to treat with chemicals, but you have to do so every 10 to 14 days until you've broken the cycle.
Of those eggs that were laid at different times as
and
they
are
hatch.
Different stages of hatching.
Which I guess would you like the egg and the pupa and the adult and well, I guess that's it, the egg, the pupa and the adult.
A little bit like that. But here's the thing. Eggs will not hatch when the insecticide levels are high.
Okay.
So you treat the animal. So the day you treat the animal, you're going to pop up the level of insecticides, and then they're going to wane. The eggs will hatch, and then you'll treat again, and what you're basically doing is killing the newly hatched louse. So you're going to have to do this treatment for quite some time. Anybody who's dealt with this knows how much is unfun. Nobody likes dealing with this, and it often means treatment of the environment, too, or the entire flock. Not fun. So whatever you're doing that has invited this problem in, you're going to very quickly amend your management situation so that this problem is uninvited. You can enjoy your chickens, but that's a lot of work for some people. Not a lot of work for others. It's up to you to decide how you want to manage your chickens so that they stay healthy. So you're breaking the cycle with the chemical treatment of lice. Okay, mites. Mites are in the arachnid family. So I believe that means they have 8 legs. Of course, you're not really going to see that because they're tiny. there's 3 types you need to be concerned about out there as small flock owners. First type is the chicken mite. Some people call it the red mite. It's called the red poultry mite. Another one is the northern fowl mite. That's another big problem. And the last one is the scaly leg mite. Now, I'm not going to cover so much on that one.
Okay.
So I'll talk about it right now briefly. They're microscopic. What you would have to do is take a leg scraping into a veterinarian and, you know, they would have to determine if that's the organism that's causing the problem. Typically, the sign is if the chicken's legs no longer have the appearance of normal scales, if they start to look flaky, or if anywhere on the leg the scales look pushed up or rearranged, you've got a problem. Okay? All of them are there to suck blood, and there's typically higher numbers in the winter. And around here, we had major, 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 major problems because we had such a mild winter. Not so many of the birds flew south, therefore they stayed nearby. And, again, movement from bird to bird, when chickens huddle together in the winter, there's a great deal of mite movement from bird to bird. All right, chicken mite first, the red poultry mite. It feeds at night. They hang out in cracks in the board. So surface crevices, that's where they're going to hang out. They may hang out under dirt or under manure cloths. They definitely hang out in nest boxes. Here's the kicker. I said it was a red poultry mite, right, Andy?
That's correct, red poultry mite.
What do you think makes it red?
Probably the blood that it's been sucking.
Right. So after a blood meal is the only time where you're going to see the red color. Otherwise, it looks black. Looks the same as all the other mites. And unless you're a mite expert, you're just going to think it's a regular old mite. So often, you'll find them in clusters in the bird's environment, and they do move bird to bird, like I mentioned. So it's one of those organisms that if you see mites on your chickens, you've got to clean the entire chicken coop. And that's just not a lot of fun. So how do you check for this particular mite? You inspect the birds at night. Look at their skin. They're the mite that is likely to come in with wild birds, especially. And they could bite you as well. Especially if you interrupt night feeding. So wear gloves. Check right where the scales meet the feathers on the legs. Sometimes they'll cluster around there. If you see that your birds are losing weight, and you know you should be picking up your birds with some regularity to see why perhaps they're losing weight, that could be a reason. Here's something that ought to floor you. It takes about 7 days to start from start to finish for the chicken mite's life cycle. Female lays her eggs. They hatch out in 2 days. The larvae molt in about 1 or 2 days. They don't eat in that amount of time, but all the other life stages, they feed on the blood. But, you know, once they're adult, which only takes, you know, that 7 days, they can live in the environment for up to 34 weeks. That's the creepy part. So you should treat the environment.
The eggs hatch in 2 days, but the actual mite can live 34 days? Is that what you're saying?
It takes them 7 days from start to finish to reach adulthood. So the female lays her eggs, hatches in 2 days, larvae molt in 1 or 2 days, and then you've got the adult stage.
Oh, okay, I see.
Okay, so when they grow up to adult stage, they can live a long time. People have found empty chicken coops and empty poultry houses, and they still find viable chicken mites inside there after 34 weeks. So this one knows how to play the game, and it can survive. I see a lot of people this year having problems, however, with the northern fowl mite. That's a mite that you see on the birds both day and night. And both commercial systems have problems with it and backyard poultry systems. When it comes to commercial conditions, heavy infestations are costly. And that means also that sometimes when the hen lays the egg, the mites can be deposited on the egg. So you certainly don't want to be selling any of your small flock eggs and have a mite crawling around on it. What's a customer going to think?
In your experience, Dr. McCrae, when these big commercial companies have a infestation, as you just said, are they just going to cull those birds?
No.
They're not. Okay.
They'll treat the birds. And that means going through and spraying every single bird, which is a challenge because you usually have to spray them around the vent and you don't take out every single bird, but you'll use a sprayer, like maybe a backpack sprayer or a garden sprayer. At the university, I've seen them use a garden sprayer. And you wait till the bird turns around and then you squirt them in the rear end with the insecticide, and then you have to repeat. And let me tell you, those birds learn what that sprayer means. They do not like to see it coming.
Yeah, after the first time, they get wise, and they're like, I'm not turning around for you, buddy.
So if you're not sure, you know, if maybe you let your chickens run free and go out into the garden and they dust bathe every day. If you're not sure if it's a northern fowl mite that you see on those feathers or if it's just dirt, like I said with the lice, part the feathers, stare at them. If you see anything move, here's your hint. Dirt should not move. And it may take them a minute or so. They will freeze when they see the light. If you don't see anything moving and you're still not sure, just like with dogs or cats, what you can do is kind of shake some of the dirt off the rear end of the chicken onto a white piece of paper and then wet your finger and kind of move your finger around in whatever you've got on that piece of paper dropped off the chicken. And so you're just kind of patting some of that material off of the bird. And if any of it turns red, just like flea dirt, it's dried blood. And so that's the excrement, the mite's excrement mixed with some dried blood.
Here's the million-dollar question. I guess this is truth or consequences. The dust bath that we so commonly see our chickens doing, they create that little hole, they're throwing dirt and sand over their bodies, and we're under the impression that they're doing that to protect them / rid them of these mites and lice. Is that false? Is that rumor? That is true, but it's obvious it's not doing a very good job if they've got them, or
if it depends on the level of infestation. Actually, you can maintain birds without ever having an infestation, and that's best because the birds are less stressed. Nobody wants stressed out chickens. Not only do they perform poorly if they're stressed out, but it's uncomfortable to have any sort of external parasites on you.
How does that work? Tell us why dirt flying onto their bodies and their how will that rid the chicken of these parasites?
Well, it knocks them off.
That's all they're doing. It's not the granules. It's just they're shaking and moving and all this.
Yeah, and, you know, there might be some elements to the dirt, depending on where you live and what dirt you make available to your chickens. There may be some mineral elements that act similar to diatomaceous earth and harm the insects. So that would be a fairly low percentage of your dirt components. Unless somebody out there is actually lacing their dirt with diatomaceous earth or has that naturally, which I don't think would occur very much in the United States and most backyard situations. So your chickens out there are doing their best, and it's also a comfort behavior. So for them to dust bathe, it's a social behavior that's part of their behavioral repertoire. So that is a comfort behavior for a chicken, and so that, you know, they may do it if they don't have mites or lice. So that doesn't mean that they have mites or lice. So you need to look in the same places on your bird for northern fowl mites as I described for the red mite. Any sort of scabbing around the vent is a good indication that you have a northern fowl mite problem. Their eggs are off-white, and they're laid in bundles around the feather shaft or in the fluff. You want to treat all the birds in the flock twice in 5 to 7 day intervals between the treatments for northern fowl mites. Now, these mites can only survive starvation for up to 3 weeks. So they're not as strong of a survivor as the red mites. Just be aware of their capabilities, though. One of the things that I find people often overlook on their birds is the quality of the feathers. If your birds are in great condition, their feathers should have great sheen. Some breeds have iridescence to their feathers. If you see that fading on your birds or chunks missing out of the tips of feathers or along the sides of feathers, that's an indication that something's gnawing away on your bird. That's not normal. Birds in the wild have to maintain the look of perfection as long as possible. And you're forcing your chickens to be together in a coop where they really can't get away from one another. So if somebody brings in a problem, they really can't get away from each other. And they will select to be with birds that are in good physical condition over birds that have parasite problems. And they can see in color, so they can see when somebody's feathers start to look torn and tattered and poor. Hens will select males that are in better condition over birds that have a problem with mites or lice. So if you see thin sections of a feather, almost see-through, hold that chicken's tail feathers up to the sun and see if you can see through any lines that go perpendicular to the shaft. That's an indication that you've got a problem. Also, if the chickens are fiddling around with their feathers a great deal, not just preening, this is beyond preening. This is to the point of they just can't seem to stop. Then you need to really consider, I checked for mites and lice. Did I miss anything? What did I miss? Do I need to check again? If you return from shows or fairs, you need to do a quarantine. Keep your birds away from the rest of your flock. Had a lady call me yesterday. She'd bought some chickens from a guy who was selling them for low cost. She really didn't like what she saw as far as his facilities, but took the chickens home because he already packaged them up. And then when she got home, they were sick. She was mad. Mad at herself for not taking the birds out and looking at them. Mad at the man for selling her sick chickens. And nervous. What was going to happen? She was going to try to treat the birds, but, she ended up taking them to the diagnostic lab to find out what was affecting these birds and if she had introduced something to her farm that was going to be of consequence to anything else that she had. One reason why you always put your birds in quarantine after a show.
Yes.
Not only can you have respiratory problems, but you might also have brought home an external parasite. No fun there.
You said you're not labeled in the chat room, but you can see the chat room. We just have a little bank of questions here. Don't know if you're ready for them or not.
Yeah, I've been reading off something else. Hit me.
Oh, okay. We got, let's see. Are mites more prevalent in certain types of dirt? I have mostly sand and very little soil. That was
not
one question.
Not so much dirt.
Okay.
They're going to come in on wild birds.
Perfect. Does painting the roosts with lime, would that help with the tiny red mites?
The work hasn't been done.
Okay. And
I've recommended to people that they seal wooden surfaces within the coop so that you don't provide safe harbor for red mites. If you seal all those nooks and crannies, where are they going to go? They got nowhere to go.
You know, and that's I will talk to that because I've all my coops have always been wood, except when I started a billion years ago and used just large breed plastic dog houses.
Yeah.
And in all these years, I've had one that I know of, you know, like I said, one issue with lice and mites, and we took care of that. So I guess it's not a prevalent idea for people to who are building wood coops to make it an issue enough to not build wood coops. But
wood is cheap.
Yeah.
But
like nesting
when it comes to health and disease, wood is cheap.
There you go. So if you let's say you have a wooden coop, but your nesting boxes are the metal type, are
yeah,
the plastic,
that's better. Yeah.
Plastic type that you can bolt on a plastic or metal nesting boxes that may prevent.
That does
the,
metal is far better,
okay.
Although it's more expensive. So
right.
Why do most people have wood?
Wood.
So do something about it. Seal the wood. Go to Home Depot or Lowe's where they have those little oops cans of paint. I know you all have seen them. Over in the paint section where they make a boo-boo, the little sample cans where like, that was supposed to be blue-green. No, that's closer to purple. So go get yourself the little cheap oops cans and make it a painting project for the kids.
And a lot of times with using wood, and a lot of people use plywood to make those square nest boxes, where those joints are, you will have cracks and crevices where the mites can get down into.
And sometimes if you do a really good job of abutting those together, when you paint it, you can
fill those cracks
fill those in.
Absolutely. Okay, question. Will poison for internal parasites kill external mites and lice since they feed on the blood?
No.
Okay.
Two different mechanisms. Two different organisms, two different mechanisms.
Okay. But that's I can see where they're going with this. You know, hey, if I'm treating for internal ones, maybe that...
Just because it says parasite doesn't mean it'll work for both. Sorry.
For all. Okay. Let's see... These are these species specific mites and lice?
Yes.
Okay. So
but
I would, my cat.
The northern foul mite will cross species. The northern foul mite isn't going to hang out on you, though. I'm saying poultry species specific. They're not meant to hang out on humans.
And then here's one last one here in the chat room, and I sure as heck don't know because I don't guess have any of that here. If you used untreated redwood, would that help? And I wouldn't know.
For what? I see that from Ken Hastings.
Yes.
What are you using the redwood for? I'll wait. We'll chat briefly and let Ken Hastings type in that response.
All right.
But, you know.
I'd like to go maybe to commercial break and we come back. I'm
perfect.
Not sure where you're at in your series here, but like if we come back and we'll cover maybe
treatments.
Yeah, okay, sounds perfect, awesome. And we're talking with poultry scientist and professor Dr. Bridget McCray with Delaware State University all about mites and lice, and we will be back right after this short break.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Snap Lock Chicken Coops, the American-made, maintenance-free, plastic hen house. With its double wall construction and adjustable ventilation, it's the perfect year-round home for your small flock. It will not fade or rot and is unaffected by rain, sun, heat, cold, or chemicals. The removable litter and nesting trays make cleaning a breeze. Every access point is lockable for maximum predator resistance. SnapLock chicken coops weigh just 40 pounds and snap together in minutes. So spend more time enjoying your flock and less time building and maintaining your coop. For additional information, please visit SnapLockChickenCoops.com. Also available at MyPetChicken.com, Critter-Cages.com, and ChickensForBackyards.com.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
All right, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We've been talking with Dr. Bridget McCray, and she's been sharing all her knowledge about mites and lice. And we've been talking about the different varieties of them and where they hide, what they like to do, the different types, and where you can find them on your bird. And so now we can kind of get into, okay, oops, you went out after dark and you found the mite, or you see the lice and the eggs on the shaft. Now you've got that to make that decision what to do. So welcome back, Dr. McCray.
Hello. Well, we had posed a question to Ken Hastings from the chat room, and apparently he's in California, and having been a resident of California for many, 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 many years, he said that his question was, redwood is used in fencing because it's not liked by termites or other bugs. I don't know if it will help with the mites. And he'd asked about using untreated redwood. And, you know, honestly, nothing has been done, as far as I know, offhand, with examining the effectiveness of building a coop from redwood versus other materials. My suspicion would be if a mite came in on a bird, it might not, if it were affected by the type of wood you use for your coop, it might not hang out in the environment, it might try to stay on the bird, which still is a problem. So, anybody want to fund that research? I'll do it. I have students who are looking for projects. Okay. So, were there any other questions?
There's one, and I would know from Moto Clown, she's a regular listener, is it safe to treat old barn wood coop with watered down used motor oil?
I don't know.
I'm not a scientist, so I don't know what
seem all that wise to me.
Especially if your chickens were going to be in there, so
versus
maybe you can paint? Maybe you can. They can elaborate on what, you know, what for, if he's heard this may help with the keeping the insects out,
yeah.
Or
see,
that type of thing.
Versus lice, two different organisms, two different families in the insect world, behaving differently, and it's not like the mites are eating the wood. They're just hanging out there. And they're not destroying the wood. They're just hanging out there. Barb Bertel says, how do you paint the nesting boxes if the hens are using them? Kick them out. They can go lay their eggs in a temporary nesting box that you provide them with while you paint their regular one. Let's see. Moto Clown.
I knew that. It's a young lady, and I think I already knew that, but I had forgotten. And then Bard Rock says no to the motor oil. Carcinogens are abundant in used motor oil.
Yeah, it just it doesn't seem smart at all. Use motor oil. I know people who say, dunk your chicken in it. It'll cure them of respiratory diseases. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I don't care if your grandpa did that and it cured a chicken once. Number one, you don't know what was wrong with the chicken. Number two, don't do that. Please. Nobody go out there and start dunking your chickens in used water oil. You did not hear to do that on this show.
Oh, my goodness. That reminds me of my dad. Whenever, you know, cut your finger? Oh, no problem. Let the dog lick it. It'll be all right.
Yeah. Oh, golly. We know so much more now.
Yes.
Just because our parents did it that way doesn't necessarily mean it was better. Yes, we are returning to some of the ways of our parents, but we do have more modern methods, and we can get diagnoses now, so get them.
There you go.
Okay, so you know you've got a problem. How do you eliminate mites in lice? You have heard implied through the statements that I've given over the course of today that it's not an easy task, but it is well worth the effort. You're going to have to treat everything. So one of the things, once you do this once, you will very quickly realize, okay, is what I'm doing worth it? If I have to frequently clean out because I keep a bird feeder in the backyard with my chickens, or I mounted a birdhouse to the back of my chicken coop, maybe you might want to change the way you've done some things, because the amount of clean out associated isn't fun. You're going to have to clean the birds at the frequency that I talked about. You're going to have to clean all the equipment. That means take it out and hand scrub it. Any cages, all the surfaces, that means get the dust, the cobwebs, the shavings, the feed out. If you've got a pressure washer, use it. Great job if you've got one. Otherwise, you're getting in there and you're using soap and water, followed by a day to dry, followed by applying pesticides labeled for use in poultry. Make sure you read the label for each pesticide that you choose to use. There are consequences with regard to egg withdrawal or sale of meat for a withdrawal period, so you have to read the label, mix it up according to the label directions. There are no shortcuts, because if you put out a product for sale in the form of meat or eggs, and you chose not to follow the directions, you have put out an adulterated product, something that's not safe for human consumption. And you really don't need that reputation. No small flock owner needs that reputation, because it ruins it for everybody else. So read and follow the directions for any dust that you buy, any wettable powders that you buy. There are some liquid sprays out there. And interestingly, there are also resin strips out there, and I do like those resin strips. They work effectively. You put it at the entrance of the nest box, so they have to push past it. It's just a little one-inch strip that's about 6 inches long, not very big. And they have to brush past it when they get in and out of the chicken coop, and then you hang a couple more of them around the roost, so that when they roost at night, maybe they huddle up next to one. They are great, those resin strips. Now, when you get to the clean-out time, you need to kill the mites that are hiding, and that's where your liquid sprays are best, because they penetrate the cracks and the crevices.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to provide a dusting box to your chickens, great. Give them a 2x3 foot box that's a minimum of 4 inches deep, because they do like to kick the dusting material out. You can use sand or dirt. And sand works really great. It's just really heavy. So it might be a dusting box that you move in on maybe once every 4 weeks, because it is really, really heavy. Or perhaps you open it up, you keep it in the coop, and you open it up periodically so you don't have to carry it because, like I said, it's heavy. You also, any of those resin strips, you want to keep them around the food, the water, so they run into them on their way to food and water. And, you know, I really like those resin strips. I just wish I could find them again.
Mm-hmm.
They really are effective. But, like I said, I haven't had time to look up the new product name out there. I just remember when I was raising the chickens, it was CarMac products, C-A-R hyphen M-A-C products, insecticidal resin strips. They were fantastic. And most of you out there, you're going to go to your feed store, you're going to see a tube-like shaker can of a Carbamate product. Seven Dust used to be used quite often. Now that's usually a container that says poultry dust. The active ingredient will be a Carbaryl or a Carbamate. That's easy to use for small flocks. You just need to not breathe that in when you're shaking it onto your birds. A pound of it will do about 20 chickens, but wear a mask. You can also find it at garden and hardware stores, so you just got to look for it. So you can use the shaker cans. Make sure you shake that dust down to the skin. Shaking it onto the feathers, you're wasting your money. Split the feathers, get it down to the skin, work it around on the skin on the chicken. Wear gloves if you want to. Chicken's going to look at you funny and give you a hard time. Get it done. The next product that's out there is a pyrethrin and synthetic pyrethroids. They're very effective. I do like those, and there's low mammalian toxicity, so it's not going to bother you so much. Pesticides, you can rotate between the pyrethrins and the synthetic pyrethroids and the carbamates, and you're not going to end up with resistance from one because you use the other. So you can rotate between the two types. When it comes to cleaning out your coop, if you want to use something that is an insecticidal soap, you can use Murphy's oil soap. You can also use Safer soap. Those are things that you can also find in garden centers or even sometimes at your grocery store. And you can use that for when you're doing the clean out, scrubbing down the walls, scrubbing down the floors of your coop. Some people like to use more natural products, like diatomaceous earth. Diatomaceous earth is not the same across the board. You want to use something called fossil shell flour or food-grade diatomaceous earth. That's harder to find. The stuff you buy at the pool store isn't the same. So diatomaceous earth basically is crystallized, fossilized remains of creatures from the sea. And when it comes in contact with the outer surface of an insect that's hanging out on your bird, essentially what it does is it pokes a hole in them. And so it physically damages the insect that's hanging out on your bird. So if you're mixing diatomaceous earth with the sand, you know, that works fine. Don't give diatomaceous earth internally in hopes that it will get rid of the internal parasites. Doesn't work so good. So another product that's out there that's naturally insecticidal but has a unique scent to it is neem oil. It's naturally insecticidal from the neem tree in India. It's a very safe product, but it's very pungent in scent. You can find neem in cosmetics, in soaps, in toothpaste. Sometimes you'll find it in cooking at Indian restaurants. That's the oil that they'll cook with. So neem is very safe, but it's also naturally insecticidal. Pretty cool. If you want to mix neem with some other natural oils that are somewhat insecticidal, you can mix it with lavender oil, rosemary oil, orange oil, eucalyptus oil, or even tea tree oil. And although no research has been done as to the effectiveness of certain combinations, and I certainly do not have a recipe for you, there are certain insecticidal properties to each of these oils. If you can't find any neem oil or you don't want to pay neem oil prices, you can mix some of those natural oils I just mentioned with perhaps almond oil or coconut oil, keeping in mind that coconut oil changes its solid or liquid state depending on the temperature of the room that you're keeping the coconut oil in. So you might have to melt that down before you add your other oils. Some people would prefer to plant certain naturally insecticidal plants around their coop. And there are plants that we know that bugs, certain bugs, don't like to hang around, like bay laurel. That's one of them that's, you know, pretty enough to plant in your garden, or tansy. Some people really like tansy. I like chrysanthemums, and they are actually the plant from which we derived the pyrethrins that I mentioned earlier. Those came and were discovered in the chrysanthemum plant. Another plant that you can choose to add to your garden is artemisia, or wormwood. And the last one I will say is comfrey. Some people would say plant these around the coop. Not all of them are good to plant in the coop. What you may want to do is plant them nearby and maybe powder the leaves and scatter them kind of as a border around the coop, or place them somewhere where you know the birds dust bathe. Excuse me. And that might help you, you select another natural, but again, nobody's done any research on these. These are just naturally insecticidal plants, not all of which would be good
yeah.
chickens to actually
eat. Pat loves comfrey. Boy, she talks about it all the time.
I wish we had more data on comfrey, honestly, mm-hmm. to share with people. So there you go. There's some good information for all of you to use in your exploits with your chickens. Just watch their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Examine them several times a month. See if you see any sort of degradation in the quality of their feathers, and go flashlight hunting for mites a couple times a month. There you
awesome.
Go, Andy.
Awesome, awesome, awesome information as always. We'll, of course, label this show. We'll get it out there on the podcast. So the thousands of our listeners that listen via podcast, over the road truck drivers, homeschoolers, all of them can listen throughout the years. We're approaching episode 700. Very proud. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll have episode 700. And you can go and look at all the episodes. Most all of them are labeled with what the show topics are. Some are not. We got a little lazy there for a period of time, but most of them are. And you can listen. So this will be one of the classics. We'll label all about mites and lice. And once again, we thank you for coming on last minute with Arlene and her husband's medical issues. We wish them the best. And we look forward to, folks, you're going to want to tune in tomorrow. You can give us a sneak peek kind of about what it's all about. Tomorrow's show with you, Dr. McRae, Feed for the Seasons. What can we expect tomorrow?
Well, what you can choose to formulate for a diet for your chickens in the winter would be different from what you would choose to feed in the diet for the summer. And so, you know, we're going to talk about what the chickens' needs are and what feeds you can formulate based upon the season.
Okay, that sounds fabulous. So, well, again, if you're a new listener, let me tell you, our old listeners, we always tell you, bring a spiral notebook, put a big CW on the cover, and listen to the show, because it will be full before you know it with all the information from our resident experts. So, Dr. McRae, thank you so much for filling in today. A great, great topic, great show.
Glad to help. Thanks for having me on.
We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye.
All righty, we're going to go to commercial break, and we come back. I got to give away a prize. today's early bird secret password prize. And then we've got our second guest coming on today, the founder and inventor, Carefree Enzymes, Poultry Protector, also related to the show, so don't go anywhere. This is an all-natural treatment for the mites and lice, all-natural, no egg withdrawal, uses all-natural enzymes. It's a spray. It comes in a bottle, and he's going to tell us how it works, why it works, how it's the only thing on the market that's going to kill the egg, the pupa, and the adult, the whole nine yards, and that'll be coming up next right after this short commercial break. Stay with us. We got to give away a prize when we come back to one lucky listener. They got the early bird secret password, and we'll bring on Patrick Haley with the Carefree Enzymes. We'll be back right after this short break from our sponsor. Stay with us. Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com. It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today. We've got a real quick contest to get through right here and right now from Ware Manufacturing. Ware Manufacturing, they have an awesome metal wire egg basket. Holds 2 dozen eggs. It's awesome. It's a brand new product they've started to carry from Ware Manufacturing. So if you were here on time, you good students, you, and were in the classroom before the door closed and the bell rang, then you got the early bird secret password today. Go ahead and give us a call right now, 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. Remember, write it on the cover of that notebook you take all these notes with every day with all of our experts, and because it never changes. 347-637-3237. We're going to take call number 5. Call number 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Got to have some fast fingers. Call number 5, if you know today's early bird secret password. If you're call number 5, we bring you live. You know this password. You're going to win this awesome metal wire egg basket from Ware Manufacturing. You can see all their products at www.ware, W-A-R-E, manufacturing, M-F-G for short, waremfg.com. That's www.waremfg.com. And you can be able to see the egg basket there as well. 347-637-3237 right now. Call number 5. We'll go over here to the switchboard and see who thinks they know the early bird secret password. And we're going to the phone lines right now. Call number 5. You're on the air with the Chicken Whisperer, calling in from area code 704. State your name. Tell us where you're calling from, please.
My name is Jennifer Wood, and I'm calling from Lincolnton, North Carolina.
North Carolina, Jennifer Wood, thank you so much for listening. You were one of the studious students that got here on time today, I'm guessing. What is today's early bird secret password?
Was it hush-hush?
It wasn't hush-hush. No,
it
so don't
wasn't?
Go anywhere. It was, nope. Okay, now I know what happened. You were in the chat room, and I had announced the password live on the air earlier in the show, and then I went back, and I think I put in the chat room, don't share the secret password, and I said something like hush-hush or something like that. But the secret password. So let's go to the next caller. This is how we work it. We'll go to the next caller and see if they've got a caller calling in from area code 937. 937, you're live on the air. State your name. Tell us where you're calling from, please.
Barb Bartell.
Barb, and you're in the chat room, and what state are you calling from?
Ohio.
Okay, we have an Ohio and a North Carolina out there. What is today's early bird secret password?
Egg.
Egg is what it was. Absolutely 100% correct. You've won that awesome wire egg basket. Holds 2 dozen eggs from Ware Manufacturing. What I need you to do to claim your prize, you're not out of the woods yet, you got to send me an email, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. Put egg basket in the subject line, if you would. Egg basket in the subject line. And then within the email itself, I'll need your name, your shipping address. Go ahead and put your phone number in there and type in your email in the email so I can copy and paste that and get over to Heather at Ware Manufacturing. And we need that information in case there's a shipping problem or they're out of that and they're going to get you something else so that we make sure we can contact you. So send all that over to me, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. All righty, it's time to go over to the phone lines. We're going to welcome, we're very honored to have the founder, creator, owner of Carefree Enzymes with us, Patrick Haley. And he's just so happens, when I saw the topic for today's show, I had to call him and say, hey, can you come on after the show? We're talking about mites and lice and tell us all about Poultry Protector. We know you've seen it out there in the stores and you're wondering what it's about and how it works. All natural, using enzymes to kill these things that we talked about today. And he's here to tell us all about the product, how it works, the whole nine yards. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's quite a it's going to be a tough act to follow Dr. McRae. She was quite thorough. A lot of the things that she was talking about with the different oils and things we are doing. We do a lot of R&D research and development studies here before any product is ever put out on the market. We probably have close to 3 to 5 years of experimenting and working with all those. On a side note, I do want to jump in. I want to do a brave hello to Ware Manufacturer. They helped me out, the Southeastern Wisconsin Poultry Association. Helped me at the Racine County Fair with just a wonderful gift that supports our local 4-H group. So Ware Manufacturer, thank you very much.
Perfect. Great. So let's go ahead and get started with the Poultry Protector product that you have out. And again, it's one of the few that's on the market retail that you can get that's actually all natural. So I know you want to talk, and I'll let you do this all the time, so however you want to start with, we're talking about the other products and maybe why not to use those, the dangers there, and then get into yours and why it's all natural and why you may want to choose it. Whatever kind of format you use when you tell people about and educate us about the project, I'm going to turn it over to you. And it's Poultry Protector.
All right, well, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. That particular product, Poultry Protectors, was in development actually for close to 7 years before we ever put it onto the market. And what we were looking for, which was our big concern, is what products are currently or at the time out there to protect our livestock, not only poultry, but swine, bovine, equine, those type of things. And then when they came out, we noticed a lot of the dog frontline and these type of things were being used on animals, and it takes a long time. You know, unfortunately, the EPA tries to do a little testing prior to allowing a lot of the release of these toxins into our environment. But in many cases, we have to have something to combat parasites throughout not only the United States but the world. What I find, what we found after doing our research on what is being applied to just this, we're going to narrow it just into the poultry field. The number one drug of choice, of course, was permethrin.
Uh-huh.
What we found after doing our research on permethrin, we found that it does get absorbed into the skin. So if you're going to dust that bird and it does get absorbed into the skin, wouldn't it make sense? Now, again, I've asked to have testing done, further testing. When you get into actually testing of the bone marrow and actually of the actual meat of the bird, it becomes very, very caught. We looked at that, having birds that were treated with permethrin actually sent to the university to have tested. I didn't have $50,000 to say, geez, what is the dosage that you, because you and I are eating the byproduct, right? And the byproduct is the egg. So if something is being absorbed into the skin, wouldn't it make sense that it's going to be carried all the way through that bird? And it could be part 001 parts per billion, but still we're eating that byproduct. And that kind of really put a fire in my chemist and me, and, you know, what can we do? What will my enzymes do to a parasite? What we kind of in a nutshell, how enzymes work, and they're constantly being developed, and new ones are being found all over the world. I know when the first discovery of how enzymes actually kind of worked was back in the 60s when we had, in the late 70s, when we had the Valdez wreck in Alaska. They were using enzymes with a mixture of a little bit of bacteria in it to eat up the oil. And that's kind of the birth of where enzymes came. Now, you can go on any shelf, and it says it's got this enzyme, it's got that enzyme, and what does this enzyme do? There's literally hundreds of different enzymes, and every enzyme does something specifically different out in the marketplace.
Now, are enzymes living creatures or living bacteria? Is it?
No, they're not living. So
okay.
That's another good tale, because, you know, when you're the first one out on the block with a product, we always get, you know, competition. Competition is good. Some other products will come out. Well, we're an enzymatic-based product too. But when you look at their formula, they're kind of not really telling you the truth. A lot of the products will be actually a bacteria-based, which is a living organism. But they'll say, but it has enzymes. Well, picture an M&M. On the outside of an M&M shell is an enzyme. And that enzyme is targeted to do something. And when it attacks whatever it's supposed to attack, it opens up the outside epidermis or cell wall to allow that M&M to get inside. Without that enzyme attached to that bacterial cell wall, that bacteria could never get out of its cell. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of the layman terms how I like to explain how it works.
Sure.
And every bacteria, that's why if you're treating ponds, lakes, lagoons, there's different bacteria that do different things. You have Annalise and Protolise. The formula that we came up with is actually a mixture of 27 different identifiable enzymes in what we call is our brew or our batch. And each one of those does something specifically different. So when we're after parasites, what happens when you spray the parasite with our enzyme, which is the poultry protector, the first thing that's going to take place is that outside skeletal wall or epidermis wall is going to instantly, the oils on that wall are going to get absorbed or eliminated. The second thing that's going to happen is that particular parasite is going to collapse. So picture going from a grape to a raisin. And during that collapsing period, that parasite is going to suffocate. Now, during that collapsing, and Dr. McGray mentioned this earlier, like with DE, diatomaceous earth, when that outside cell wall is fractured or punctured, now we like to use Mother Nature. Mother Nature's indigenous bacteria will now get inside that wound and actually finish off and kill that parasite. That's how that works. So it's a two-kill process. One, we do it through suffocation. Two, we do it through using Mother Nature to help us clean. Here's another good example. If you've ever scratched yourself and you put any type of ointment, salve or anything on to stop the infection, you'll notice within a day or two it still becomes red. So it does have a little bit of infection, where our bodies are covered with bacteria. And that's the same thing with the parasites. The parasites we have are outside skeletal wall, our skin, and that protects the inside of us. Same with the parasites. They have their outside skeletal wall that once fractured, now the natural Mother Nature can also assist with this kill process. So that's how we formulated our product. And you mentioned this earlier, Andy, is that it works not only – everything that, that Dr. McCray was talking to you about, it works kind of on the it works on the adults. It doesn't work on the larvae stage, the pupa stage. It works on the adult stage. With the enzymatic process, it actually does it eliminates all the stages. So you're not actually knocking down from beginning of life, which is the egg, to the adult. That's one of the problems. And I was listening to Dr. McCray when she was talking about how do you clean coops. Well, if you don't get into cracks and crevices, and the products don't come in contact with the adult, that adult can, within 3 to 4 days, make literally hundreds of babies, and they're back again. And when we start throwing different chemicals, permethrins at them, and she was mentioning about mixing it up, using this chemical this week, using another chemical the next week, yeah, it kind of breaks down that resistance. One thing about an enzyme, we don't care. I mean, we're going to knock them out regardless what type of infestation that you have. And when you are using those other types of chemicals, you have to know what you're treating. And I'm a firm believer. I remember a gal called me up and she says, my bird's got bugs. I said, okay, well, what kind of bug does your bird have? And she said, well, I don't know. I just know it's got bugs. So I said, well, get a magnifying glass. And if you don't, get a little shot glass, because if you turn it upside down, it works like a little magnifier. And I said, you know, try to identify. We did a nice article in Backyard Poultry that I actually identified and gave you pictures of all the different parasites that can be affected on a poultry. I mean, you can go from fleas to lice to northern mites to red mites. You've got they can even be infected with bed bugs, even the scaly legs mite. So you really want to know what you're going after. And also, all of those parasites that I mentioned to you have different feeding times. So when you're after the northern mite, they like to feed. I like to feed a little bit during the day and a little bit at night. Here, when you go after the chicken mite, they strictly only feed at night. So when the doctor was mentioning, you know, go out there in the late evenings with a flashlight to find out what's going on. The red mite, notorious, it feeds during the evening. That's why, you know, you can hear your coops. The birds are just being literally eaten alive. And then during the day they settle down, because the red mites will actually go to the cracks and crevices to start their life cycle over, lay their eggs, digest the feed, which is the blood from the bird, and then at night then the cycle starts all over again. So what we're after when we're cleaning is, I emphasize and I agree very much with the doctor, is if you're going to clean and do this right, it's got to be a thorough clean out. So we call it a Monday, Wednesday, Friday process. Monday is the coop. Everything gets taken out of the coop. And I am a firm believer, whatever you're using is the bedding. It has to be taken off premises, either buried, burned, or removed. Those parasites will actually find their way. If you're just taking it over to a little burn heap or a little heap outside the coop or on the other side of the garage, those parasites will come back. I mean, they've got like that. The red light, they know where their food is, and they will find their way back to the feeding. So I'm a firm believer that either be burned, and I'm not even a big one for putting in compost, because they will escape from the compost piles and actually would make their way back too. Once you've done that, then it's a total spray. Now, using, you know, of course I'm biased. I want you to use the poultry protector, because that can be sprayed on the walls and the cracks and crevices, and it's a thorough washdown. We mix it up in a tank sprayer and you spray. It can also be hooked up into a power sprayer. So once we've gotten that done, now we've got the coop clean. Then we put the bedding back in, and whatever it is, if you're using straw, you're using wood chippings, you're using rice hulls. Rice hulls, I highly recommend. I think it's one of the best beddings available because it doesn't absorb, so it's not going to bring in the ammonia from the bird, from the droppings. But then we do another spray. We take the poultry protector and we actually spray that bedding because when it dries, it's even though it's dry, it's still there. So in the morning when it gets damp and mildew, humidity builds up, the product actually comes active again. And then we do the beauty of grabbing that bird and giving that bird a thorough spray down. We're going to do its vent. We're going to do underneath its wings. We're going to do its chest. And by all means, its neck area. Now, that's on a Monday. On a Wednesday, then we want to do a spot check. We want to check that bird because if it is still infected, there's an area that we missed. Now, remember, these birds are going out during the day, right? They're locked up all night long, and then they're out foraging. So they're going to bring back the parasite. Well, how can that happen? Well, guess what? You've got rodents. You've got mice. You've got birds that come to visit. They're carriers. So can we ever say that our coop or our poultry is going to be 100% forever parasite-free? Absolutely not. Not unless you've got them in a locked-up area where you're not allowing any outside Mother Nature to come in. Does that kind of make sense, Andy?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was the approach that we go after. And then that Friday, again, what we like to do is check the bird again, but just do a fine mist over the floor onto the bedding. Typically after that week, we've stopped that cycle. And that's that egg, the larvae, the adults, we've stopped that cycle chain. And then I feel very comfortable with that. And the doctor was right. Excuse me for coughing. The doctor was right. With a lot of the other items that are out there, and they all have bad side effects. Now, not so much for the birds. You heard me talk about the carcinogen with using permethrin. Seven, you know, there's a drug of choice. That's another carcinogen. But also, we want to look outside the bird. Let's look what it's doing actually to our environment. Seven is very toxic to bees. Coral is another product that's out there. It will kill everything. It's an all mite, lice, flea, bug killer, but it's toxic to birds. And a lot of people, you know, they don't read the instructions. I get a kick out of looking at one of the products is called, and the doctor mentioned it before, is poultry dust. It's got two sentences of how to use it on a bird, but it's got four paragraphs of how not to use it. Well, to me, that's quite a warning. And then, you know, when you got to wear a mask, well, who's putting little masks on the bird? You know, these are things that have always it's always really bothered me. And, you know, if the bird is not, you can actually, with one of the downsides with doing DE is that you can actually suffocate a bird. They can actually inhale it through their nostrils, and they're not smart enough to open up their mouth to breathe. You know, they kind of open their mouth to eat and off gas, right, because they don't perspire. So that's how they, you know, they off gas. You know, so it's you know, this whole thing, we are doing a lot of R&D studies now with different other ways of using enzymes, such as the strips and different things that you'll see coming down the pike later on. What we find is when, you know, these retail stores are getting pretty savvy now, and it is a cost of doing business. A lot of the items that are non-toxic and are very safe to use, besides poultry, and I'm not, you know, I'm kind of favoring my company, absolutely. There are some all-natural products out there, but in many cases are cost prohibitive to use. And a lot of the retailers are not going to carry a product unless you, the consumer, says, hey, this I want, can you get me this? And they can get you anything. I mean, they have distributors that can supply them with whatever you, the consumer, wants. The problem is it's up to the consumer to demand that retailer to carry it. You and I talked about this several years ago, Andy, before. I remember talking to a very prominent a retail store, and I walked in with my poultry protector, my egg wash, and my drinker, and I'm telling them all the wonderful things that my product will do. And he looks at me and he says, I'm going to keep selling the nasty stuff until my customer tells me stop. Good thing I don't have dentures because they would have fallen out. Because I looked at him and I said, are you serious? You're not going to give your customer an alternative. It's cost of doing business. That shelf, You know, in order to get something on the shelf, something has to come off the shelf. And if he's making a lot of money selling the nasty stuff, he'll keep selling that nasty stuff. And he's not educated. I mean, he's selling everything from brushes to brooms to nails to paint. You know, the little category that he has in the poultry products or the goat products or the swine or the those products are put on by you, the consumer. You're the ones that demand that they carry the products. I bless the Lord every Sunday that my product is taken off like it has. People realize that, geez, we are what we eat. So it's very you want to be very conscious of what you're applying, not only to your poultry, but even to your dogs and your animals. You know, that front line, you put it on your dog, but it kills cats. You know, why would you then put it on any? If it does that, it's got to do something to something else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm a firm believer that there's a cause and effect for everything. When I developed my company back 25 years ago, I actually did it for my grandfather, experimenting with enzymes, and it was to keep bird bath clean. You know, kind of a crazy, crazy thing back then. But my grandmother had polio, and her window to the world was that big picture window. She knew when the rabbits and the squirrels and the chipmunks came to that bird bath. And she made sure that my grandfather got out there every morning, and he had blisters on his knuckles strictly from cleaning that thing. And then we take that same concept to say, okay, how can we take something natural and make it work for other things? So not only will the Poultry Protector work on poultry, but it will work the same. So when we hear poultry, we just think of chickens. This product is going to work on ducks. It'll work on pigeons. It'll work on any waterfowl that's out there, any winged or feathered animal. So it's not we don't target for one. But when I mentioned all those seven or eight different parasites, that's why it's very important for you and I to identify what we're treating. Because out of all those, you know, with the seven and the calray and the garden dust, those type of things, they kill certain things. They don't kill all. And that made it kind of a little easier for those retailers to say, geez, what is the kill rate on your product? Do I have to carry other products, or can I eliminate some of the ones that I'm currently carrying? And, yes, the benefit to those retailers are that there is an alternative. If you own a shelf now, the only thing you're going to find in the poultry section for parasite control is either going to be seven, and they don't highlight it on there, and then you have the Permethrin, which is, I'm trying to think of the company name that does poultry dust. But it's, you know, it's been private labeled so much. Now, Permethrin, for your viewers to know, is illegal overseas. They know the downside of this particular product. The EPA in the United States is really putting a clamp down on that particular drug product. There, as of last year, there's actually 200 different products that were being made with Permethrin that were actually pulled off the market. So they're going to start looking for, okay, what are the alternatives? We saw a product out there is called horse lice duster. And I go, boy, I wonder what kind of product this is. Now, this is for a horse. The Permethrin that's used in this horse lice duster is the same amount of Permethrin that is used in poultry dust. Boy, there's a difference in mass, isn't there? You're talking 1,200-pound animal to a 2-3-pounder. And you're absolutely right, as the doctor said. You know, use a mask. There are alternatives. We didn't touch bases on it, but you got the scaly leg. You know, what was the drug of choice for years ago? Scaly leg. Well, dip them in oil. You know, use motor oil. Suffocate them. Well, geez, we know now that we've got roads that have to be kept blacktopped because of the amount of oil that was dumped on those roads over the years to keep the dust down. That it's causing tumors and cancers because of the carcinogens that we've done. And if most people knew what was underneath those roads, you know, we'd demand that everything be dug up. Unfortunately, it's cost prohibitive to go and do a complete sanitization to do all the stuff that we years ago had no clue what we were doing. And that's kind of where we are. The EPA tries to keep abreast of most of this stuff. There's so many things coming out today that there's so limited amount of testing that was ever done. by Poultry Protector. We sent that off to the University of Wisconsin. They did a thorough test on it. We had it tested. Dr. Stevens out in Modesto, he did a thorough testing on this. And what we wanted to make sure that you've heard the old adage, geez, if a little will do this, think what a lot's going to do. Well, one thing with enzymes is more is not better. Not to say that it's going to cause anything. It's just a waste of money because it's not going to do any more than we formulated it to do. So we've done a lot of research. We're constantly doing research now with coming out with some other new organic items that are going to be safer for you and I, our children, because you and I are the ones that are leaving this life, well, we hope, better for our children and grandchildren. So, Andy, listen, I sure appreciate you. I can go on and on. Do you want me to keep talking?
If you'll tell us kind of how...
I didn't want to put you to sleep.
No, this is fascinating. I'm posting it on Facebook and what you're saying, quotes, and the chat room. Tell us, you know, for the people who are listening, okay, I go out to the store, I can get this product. I'm going to get you to tell us where you know, where you recommend they go. But then how, when they have the product in hand, here's the spray bottle, and it is in a spray bottle. I've got my chicken in the other hand, or my wife's holding the chicken, and I've got the spray bottle. What's the application process?
Well, in a 16-ounce spray, that's a ready-to-use.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend that they try. You know, one of the old adages years ago was, oh, organic, natural stuff don't work. And so what we decided to do is we'll just come out with a ready-to-use sample bottle, kind of what we call a sample bottle, which is 16-ounce, and then prove to the consumer that it does work. Once you get to that stage, because that 16-ounce bottle is going to treat, you know, a small flock, 12, 14 birds, and that's doing a thorough week clean out on the birds. Again, you're going to put the bird in your lap. I actually like to dip them. I like to take about 4 or 5 ounces in a bucket of water and then submerge the bird so we get down into the pin feathers and let them sit there for 3-4 minutes. If that's too time-consuming because you have too many birds to do, then, yeah, use the spray. Spray the bird down. You want to get the vent area because that's typically where you're going to find that you even have an infection in the first place. Another identification you're going to find is that your birds are restless. You know, they're attacking each other. Well, geez, if I'm being eaten alive, I'm going to be a little frustrated too. And God forbid if I'm the weakest one because I'm going down first. So what we want to do is check that vent area. Then you want to fluff up the feathers underneath in the chest area and also behind the head. Because that's an area where they can't scratch, they can't pick. But I'll tell you what, the other birds will pick it for you. So it's that identification, where is it, and it's a thorough. You want to get this down into the pin feathers because it's got to come in contact with the parasite itself. Otherwise, it would be like you and I going out in a rainstorm. We've got an umbrella on, and it's raining all around us, but I'm not wet. So once I get damp, and all it has to do is just come in contact a little bit on that parasite, and it's going to control it. So that's how we recommend doing that. Now, if we have, what I have found, and this is different spotty areas across country. I see that you had somebody that called from North Carolina, Ohio, different areas. I've noticed over the last several weeks, Andy, and you're going to find that different areas of the country have different strains of parasites. It could be the same red mite. It's just that you've been nuking it with different chemicals so long, that it's built up a resistance. You know, when you and I were growing up, the drug of choice was penicillin. Well, most of the people now are immune to penicillin. So whatever the virus is, it's just running rampant. Well, that's the same with the parasite. It grows so fast that it can build up an immunity to whatever you're trying to knock it down with. So that's why I like using the concentrate in the liter form, because now I can go and we regulate that to a severe infestation, to a moderate, to a light. So, and what I always like, and I mentioned this even on the bottle, the first time I go in, I don't care what you've been treating these birds with or what the environment's been treated with before, is let's go in heavy, let's knock it down, and then we can go to the lighter formula. Do I like the dips? I know when I was, we just came up with some product, which is the Best of Show kit for kids taking their birds to the show, to the county fairs. And one of the things that I emphasized here in southeastern Wisconsin to the judges, I said, you have some beautiful birds, some flocks out there, some hybrid breeds. that they won't come to your show because you're not doing a good enough identification of parasitic control here, where these birds are going back home fully infected. And, you know, looking at the news we're hearing on TV all the time, right now, you know, all the swine flu, you know, from all the kids that went to the county fairs and state fairs, and now they're infected with swine flu. Are you kidding me? I mean, there's got to be, you know, stuff that's got to be done before. And the same with the poultry. So we have it in southeastern Wisconsin, in many areas now of the country, it's a thorough identification, that vent area, the back, the wings. Does this bird have any parasites whatsoever? If it does, you're gone. You're not coming into this fair or the show.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
What the same part is, when they bring these birds, even for that checkout, guess what? They're leaving some of those parasites behind. So, you know, I'd like to say,
always.
Yeah, the bird goes and there goes everything with it. No, stuff got left behind. So now we're going to start this cycle again. So, you know, it's what we've been using for use. There was an area, and it was in Southern California, that San Diego area. I tell you what, they got some parasites down there that I would go on those three applications I mentioned to you before, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I would do strong, because those parasites, man, I'm not sure if they're running around with Army helmets on or not. There's some heavy-duty, nasty bugs that you need the full strength to knock them down. And so if that's the case, think what you're doing with the other stuff. You know, you heard me say this before. You know, what we used to think, you know, more is better. Well, when you're using these carcinogens, people don't really, you know, well, that's the rule. You know, even though it says on a label, 1 pound, as the doctor said before, you know, 1 pound per, you know, 100 birds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, geez, what if I put on 1 pound per 10 birds? What's that going to do? Well, if it's carcinogen and it does get absorbed into the skin, doesn't that mean that 0.00 parts per billion is going to get absorbed in that egg and you and I are going to eat that egg?
Absolutely. You would think.
Yeah. And as I said, I would love to have that testing done. I just, you know, when I took that to my staff and I said, well, it's going to cost us $50,000 to get these birds tested if they do a complete kill. And my dog even looked at me and he says, you know, that's a lot of dog food. And I said, yeah, I have to agree. I said, we just can't justify it.
$50,000. Hey, people are asking in the chat room right now, where can they get this? How can they buy it right now?
Well, any of your high, any of your feed stores, any of your high scale farm and fleets, it's out there at your Mills, Blaine's, Orchlands, Atwood's, Tractor Supply, all of your leading mail order companies, your McMurray's, your Fleming's, your and I know I'm going to get in trouble for not mentioning all of them, but all your mail order companies do care.
There's a list on your website, though, isn't there?
Yes, they can go to my website, which is carefreeenzymes.com. We do not sell, you can't buy anything from us, unfortunately. It's all sold through distribution, which is my retail stores or my mail order companies. I do a lot. If you go to my website, I have several articles that have been published in the past for parasite control, parasite identification. We've had a lot of testing done on all my products, so we highlight all that there. We do open it up for a blog. We are on one of my internet guys insisted that we have a Facebook account, so we're on Facebook. We encourage people to go to our sites there. We answer a lot of questions. We're right now in the process of doing a lot of videos to show people how to actually use these products. We're just in the process of getting a lot of that stuff done. So we're a small family-run company. We're moving along. We're having fun. The beauty that I like to know is that there's going to be, at the end of this day, today, there's going to be a little less bugs out there than it was earlier.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Perfect. So I put down the website in there, carefreeenzymes.com, for our folks in the chat room and folks that listen to the archive, of course, as well. And just you can see a list where you can purchase this. It may be just a mile down the road or actually an online retailer if it's not close to you where you can physically go and pick this up. Again, it's Poultry Protector. And when I, again, saw today's show and noticed that, hey, Dr. McCray is coming on, the subject is mites and lice, it just made sense to have Patrick on as well. We've got about 90 seconds before we get cut off. So, Patrick, thank you very much for joining us. It was perfect. Explanations were great. And just kind of shows us we need to treat this, if we can, all naturally. No egg withdrawal period issue. Better for our chickens. Better for us. And it gets the pupa, the egg, and the adult like no other product. We thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, Andy. Listen, and you and your residents and folks, you have a super day.
Thank you so much. You take care. All righty, that wraps up another great show here, Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We appreciate you tuning in today. Fabulous show. Started out with, Dr. McCray, PhD poultry scientist, talking all about mites and lice, wrapping it up with Patrick Haley, founder and inventor of Poultry Protector and his company, CarefreeEnzymes.com. So again, tomorrow, Dr. McCray is going to be joining us. The topic tomorrow, feed for the seasons. Feed for the seasons. What do our chickens need in their feed in the winter? What about the summer? What about transitional periods like spring and fall? That'll be tomorrow right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have an awesome day. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Take care.